Hello and welcome to Up the Smut Podcast. I'm Kate from Romantically Inclined, and joining me today and always and forever in my heart is...
I'm Michaela from Love Michaela Eve.
And together, we're weird.
We are the smut slots. Stick it in my smut. Put it up my smut. Perfect. The smut.
Yeah. Up the smut. We're just workshopping a bunch of slogans, honestly, for this podcast. But while we workshop, we decided that we wanted to bring you guys an episode on romantic suspense. Da-na-na, da-na-na. I really should do my own music.
I'll do the saxophone on the backing sax.
Perfect. Yeah, Michaela and I both love romantic suspense, and we're both reading a romantic suspense at the moment. And I realized I don't recommend romantic suspense all that often to people. I'm really in like a monster phase right now. And I've forgotten about my true love. Romantic
being
suspense.
Scared and horny.
Yeah.
That's my
honestly,
true love.
It's all about my two favorite genres are true crime or fake crime, like Law and Order SVU. And Criminal Minds, and romance. And so, of course, romantic suspense is going to be the most perfect blend of those two interests.
Yeah, with our powers combined, we are Captain Romantic Suspense. I think that a lot of listeners are going to be too young for Captain Planet. I think that one just flew right over their heads, that reference.
Honestly, it went a little bit over my head. I'm going to be honest. That did not land fully on my side.
I'm sorry that I'm only 34 years old and I've been alive in... however many decades. I've seen pandemics, I've seen changing of hands, I've seen financial crises. I read this story about a guy who passed away when he was 22 last year, and I was like, oh my god, he was born in like 1995, no, 2000. So I've seen a lot, and it's only midday here.
That's true. It's nighttime for me. I'm ready to go, which is actually, nighttime is the best time to read romantic suspense, in my opinion. I like going to bed ready to fill my dreams with terror. Last night I had a dream about zombies that were trying to kill me. And my sister-in-law was pregnant. It was unrelated. I'm not really sure. It was like half the dream was me finding out she was pregnant and the other half was zombies trying to eat me. Perfect blend.
Maybe the baby was a zombie.
It was one of those things where I woke up kind of scared, but immediately forgot like everything except those two very specific points.
See, I wake up scared every night because I take my Prozac in the middle of the night. So I just wake up like, and then immediately shove a sweet SSRI down my throat and then I'm fine.
She always, there's like a 30 minute window where she's always messaging me too. She's like, it's 2 a.m. I'm like,
gotta do
okay.
My gotta take my Prozac. It's the
she comes up with her best ideas. At 2 a.m. or her most weird memes that she sends me.
Yeah, and then I'll just get like this flash of inspiration and then I go dark for 3 hours and then I wake up and I'm like, alive again. That's like the message.
It's the middle of the night for you though, because you're messaging me and then all of a sudden you don't respond for like 6 more hours. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I'm like, oh, right. It was the middle of the night for her. She's just weird.
But
I'm always
available. I'm always there when you call. I'm not always online.
Sometimes you're up at 4 a.m. Sometimes you're up at like 11 p.m. Honestly, I only ever go like 2 hours without hearing from you. So it's not that. I'm not in like Michaela withdrawal or anything. Oh, withdrawal is one of those words that's very difficult to say. Withdrawal.
Yeah. Withdrawal. I feel like there is certain things the American and the Australian tongues cannot do. I walked right into that one, didn't I? Oh my God.
Yes. But you walk into things like that a lot with yourself, so.
Yeah, I'm used usually to it. Intentionally.
Yeah. You like to set yourself up for jokes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Who else is going to do it if not you?
100%.
Well, like,
if you're thinking it, I'm saying it. It just has been known. It's like that little meme.
It's
just like when the devil cannot reach you, he sends a Scorpio. So it's just like, there you go. At your service.
Oh, boy. I did. Every time we don't have a podcast episode to record, I do miss you, though. Even though you send me like 8,000 videos of you a day. But it's not like hanging out with a friend like it is on here.
No, this is always fun. It is always fun. And it's always great to see one another and to do these things. And thank you so much to everyone who's already following along on the Instagram and listening to the rebrand of the pod. We love you. We appreciate you. If we were there in person, I would motivate you. I don't know if Kate would. She's a little bit of a Virgo prude sometimes, but
that's true.
Actually, I did meet someone from Instagram the other day, and I was like, were you surprised at how tall I am in person? She was like, no, not really. But, you know, she knew what to expect with the way that I behave, so she was not shocked by that. So that was good.
For those who are wondering, if you missed previous podcast episodes of the Romantically Inclined podcast, Michaela is much taller than the energy she puts out into the world. So the first time I found out how tall she actually was, I was stunned.
That was it.
She really gives off 5'2 energy. I'm sorry, but 5'2, that is your height.
I'm 5'9. I'm a giant.
No, like, it's 5'2 energy. I'm sorry. It's like small dick energy, but PC. It's just like small girl energy where you're just like, boisterous.
I do equate myself to a chihuahua. I'm quite nervous, like high strung, like ready to kind of yak and attack at all times. So that's sort of that's me. I get it. I love it. We always start with really good intentions of
these are great.
Yeah, of getting to the point, but we like to, you know, like it's just like having coffee with a friend or a strong cup of tea in Kate's case because she's a little bitch. Doesn't do the coffee.
Oh boy, that's true though. Coffee does not sit well with my stomach. The last time I drank coffee, I had a straight up panic attack for like 45 minutes and I couldn't figure out why. And I was like, oh, it's like the sheer amount of caffeine in my body right now.
And it's funny because Kate is, she's a headache girl and I'm a tummy ache girl. So that's why we work so well together as well. Well, she's a migraine. She actually has like medical migraines and I just have like,
I'm a migraine girl.
That's that. There's two types of girls in this world and we all, it has been known. Okay.
Yeah, that's true. I do want to say in terms of, I used the term small dick energy because I absolutely hate it. And I have a full rant coming soon about small dick energy and how all dicks are good dicks. Except when you are being a dick. That is a bad dick. But anyways, stay tuned for an episode about that. That is a full episode dedicated rant that will be coming one day. But let's get to romantic suspense. I have so many hand motions that nobody appreciates because this is a podcast. But I think it's important to ask this question because I think that people have different definitions of romantic suspense and kind of like what it means to them and what qualifies as romantic suspense. So, Michaela, when you hear romantic suspense, what are you picturing in your book? Like, what are you going to expect from that book?
Okay. So, for me personally, it's going to be somewhat of a high-stakes scenario, usually involving law enforcement or something to do that can lead to, like, a criminal trial. that sounded really dramatic. But also, there's going to be romance in it. You know, there's going to be a cute little, like not a meet cute, but we're going to be in a scenario where we're really close to the action of the suspenseful situation. There's like life threatening things popping up, but there's going to be a little bit of love, a little bit of cuteness. That's how I sell it to people. I sell it to people as like criminal minds, but they fuck.
Yeah. They did a lot of fucking in Criminal Minds too, a little bit though.
Okay. I'm up to like season 5. I'm just vibing. I'm actually just rewatching Teen Wolf at the moment, the greatest show to ever exist. Don't at me on that one.
Okay, well now I feel like I have to watch it.
Yeah, no, you don't. You really don't. It's one of those things you can do that. What do you think that romantic suspense is? Like how would you Kate is the absolute expert. I just defer everything to her. I'm like, well, you go first. You tell me what you think romantic suspense is, because I agree.
So I love romantic suspense, and I do think that there is like a qualifying amount of suspense that has to come in for it to be romantic suspense. So I wrote down, because I didn't want to forget my own definition, that it cannot just be like a one-off suspenseful scene to make a romantic suspense. Even a couple.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just be 50 Shades of Grey, like Anna's boss groping her or whatever. Or the stalker, like the Christian stalker does not make 50 Shades of Grey a romantic suspense, even though there are suspenseful. Suspenseful. I feel like a snake now. Even though there are suspenseful moments, the suspense has to be a major focus of the book. I even say there needs to be a 50-50 split of romance and suspense, where one could not exist without the other. And it definitely needs to be like, you know, I mean, law enforcement or, sometimes the mafia is the bad guy, guys. Like, sometimes that's true. Yep. Sometimes the head of the mafia or the mob is not hot. They are actual bad guys. That's okay, too. All right? Because in this case, the hero is the good guy. Or he's, like, a down-on-his-luck guy who, like, drinks too much. He's, like, an ex-cop who now works as a private investigator, and she needs his help because she's being hunted. I don't know. That'd be a good book.
The Vinny Van Lo from Veronica Mars fantasy never strays far from Katie's mind.
Honestly, nope. He always comes back to Vinny Van Lo, baby. I got a lot of DMs about that. People were pretty pissed or disgusted. They were like, are you joking or are you serious? I was like, I am dead ass serious. I have a thing for Vinny Van Lo. I'm sorry. Like, that's where my love of romantic suspense.
Not in this house. We like who we like, and that is that, okay?
I will not apologize for my Vinny Van Lo obsession. Did not like him in the movie, though. He was trying too hard. But, so the things that I like about romantic suspense genre is that, well, one, like I said, I love true crime, so I love the drama of the romantic suspense, and I love the, like, angst in terms of... I don't mind angst in the relationship. Like, I love a third act breakup. Don't at me about that. I just do. I love it. I love a good grovel, and you can't have a grovel without a third act breakup.
I
they go hand in hand. But I do love in a romantic suspense that usually it kind of eliminates the need for angst between the main characters, because you have all this shit flying at them from external situations, like the bad guys and them escaping danger and, like, people trying to kill them, and, you know, there's all this shit being thrown at them, so they don't have to hate each other. They can just, like, grow together as a couple while they fight.
The thing that I kind of love about that as well is, like, I do love a bit of insta love. I sort of had an insta love relationship with my husband. Like, I mean, we started date. We, like, said, I love you on our first date, which was, like, 3 days after meeting. So when people are like, I hate that, I'm like, oh my God, that happened to me 11 years later. We're still, you know,
you're,
I'm
like,
still
so tolerant. You're saying you hate me, right? You hate me.
Yeah. Like, it's a personal attack on me and my house. So I love that, how it kind of, it really does, because it's a believable sort of insta love. Like, when you're put into a perilous situation, you're being fucking blown up and shot at, and you've got these people coming after you, you know. I think it's more believable that you sort of trauma bond with someone and you're like, yay, I love you. You're here for me. That's always cute.
That is true. It does kind of excuse away the, like, well, how are you two really falling in love with each other? Because anybody who's ever won, like, a team building competition with somebody or, like, you know, ever knows that you, like, insta bond with your team over like defeating the cup tower or something. So you just, like, you become instant friends. That's what team building is for. And what is romantic suspense if not violent team building? You know?
Yeah. Points were made.
Yeah, thanks.
That was a good point. Yeah.
But it's funny that you say the insta-love thing, because that actually ties into something I don't like about romantic suspense. Okay. So I love it. But I don't like when they don't take the mystery, like, when they're fucking so much that I'm like, okay, somebody could kill, like, literally come in your tent and slice your throat right now. And you're fucking. Yep. Like, you are not taking this danger seriously. I don't mind if they fuck, but I at least want them to not, like, lock a door, put a couch in front of it, then fuck. Like, just make sure that you have covered all the entrances and exits to where you are having coitus. Make sure you are safe.
Make sure the fucking is not going to be coitus interruptus with, like, a bullet to the back of the head.
Exactly. Be smart about your fucking. That's why I also don't mind slow burn romantic suspense, because I do think that that is believable, that, like, you know, you're going to take some time, like, make sure that you're not about to be murdered before you make out in the dark or something.
Well,
oh, I do love when they're, like, hiding together, though, and their bodies are pressed against each other, and then they kiss after the danger has passed.
Yes. Mm. Oh my God, stop it. Now I'm like, can we finish this up and go read some romantic suspense, honestly?
Yeah, you're like, I got it. But also, the other thing I hate, and I'm sure you'll agree, is the too stupid to live heroine. I want them to be partners in the suspense. I'm not as big of a fan of, like, she's a damsel in distress, he is leading the charge to save her life. I do like those and read those, but in a romantic suspense, like, I kind of prefer that in dark romance when she's, like, a doe-eyed, innocent girl who needs the big bad mafia guy's help to save her from, like, her pervy ex-boyfriend or something. That's fabulous. That's, like, 9 Jessica Cain books I just described right there. But
Jessica
Cain, I don't want
in the room with us. Every time she mentions Jessica Cain, take a shot. Okay, so when we do our Jessica Cain episode, call the ambulance.
You'll die. Yeah. You'll die. But yeah, I hate the two. I read a Laurie Foster book once, and I've complained about this before, where the heroine is like a vigilante killing sex traffickers, and she joins up with a family of vigilantes. And at one point, and I'm like, girl, like, stop fighting this. They clearly are, like, they're, like, billionaire vigilantes. Just trust them. Let them help you. You have no experience. She almost gets herself killed in, like, the first fucking chapter because she's breaking into, like, a sex trafficking place to break out a girl. But I'm like, and she almost gets captured because she has no fucking clue what she's doing. She doesn't even know karate. What is happening? And then later she gets, the guy's like, stay here. Like, you don't know how to use a gun or fight. And then she's like, I'm not going to stay here. And she comes out and she, like, gets him shot.
Oh,
like, she distracts him. He turns. He gets shot. I'm like, I immediately was like, I'm really mad about this. So I hate that in romantic suspense.
Yeah. Well, I feel like I'm lucky. Rant. Like, I feel like, I feel like a lot of the romantic suspense I read is quite believable. I think that we've got, like, heroines that sort of know their place and know what they can do. So that sort of, yeah, I'm just like, tell me what you've been reading and then I'm not going to read it. So what are some romantic suspense recommendations you have? Like, what would you say to people trying to get into it? Because that's the thing. Like, I get a lot of people asking me, like, they've seen that I'm reading the Karen Rose books, which I'll talk about in a second, but also, like, where to start with romantic suspense. I was saying to Kate before that I think that people who are sort of, like, getting a little bit disillusioned with the age of some mafia characters and, you know, like, dark romance. I mean, obviously with romantic suspense, like, we've just sort of spoken about how there tends to be less sex in the ones that we prefer and probably that we're going to talk to you about now. But if you're definitely, like, sort of wanting to pull away and get more of a plot, the books do tend to be a little bit longer as well, I'm thinking. Like, some of the ones that
they're more like the 400, 500 page length.
Yes. Yeah. Because
versus, like,
got,
dark,
like,
romance,
you know,
which is, like, shorter.
Yeah. Shorter sort of romance. I did read a romance book that was sort of like 500 pages and I was like, this is fucking wrap it up. Like, honestly, like, it's just how much more can happen to these characters, you know? But yeah. So what are some romantic suspense recommendations you've got?
Yeah. So I actually stood and looked at my bookshelf for a while today because I have a lot. I mean, I have a lot of romantic suspense to go through. But the number one, like, when someone tells me they like romantic suspense or they want to, like, get into it, and they want it to be, like, believable romantic suspense. I always use the term catch 22 wrong. It's not a catch 22, but this is not necessarily believable. I don't think the series is complete, and I believe there may be some sort of, like, superpowers or something at some point. Anyways, it's White Out by Adriana Anders. And I love this one because it takes place in Antarctica. It is grumpy sunshine. There is an only one sleeping bag situation, which trumps only one bed every time.
Yeah.
Only one bed? You can have at least, like, 2 feet between you, unless it's a twin bed. Only one sleeping bag? Y'all are pressed the fuck together.
Yeah.
And I think at one point somebody gets hurt and somebody has to, like, nurse someone back to health or something. Or maybe that's the second book. But it is, like, a wilderness situation. You have Angel, who's the heroine. She's a sunshiny chef at a research station in Antarctica. And there's Ford. He's a glaciologist. He studies glaciers. If you want, like, a wacky career for your hero.
Wow, talk about career that's on its way out. Oh, my God. Jesus.
I know, that guy does not have career security, job security. No. But he's, like, it's been a while since I read this. He doesn't really like Angel for some reason. I think he's just super attracted to her and, like, knows that she's off limits. So he's, like, gone the opposite direction. Instead of being friendly, he's just, like, an ass. But it's the final day. They're, like, packing up this research station and, like, bad guys break in. Everyone else has left. It's just the two of them. Bad guys break in and they're forced to flee with this, like, test tube that the bad guys want into the wilderness of Antarctica with like nothing but like some supplies they were grabbed. I forget what's in the test tube's the weird thing. It's like some sort of like
what's in the tube
something. Yeah, so it's like there's like a hint of supernatural-y-ness to it.
Okay,
but the whole book is every chapter starts with like a countdown of how much food they have left, or like how many days until they die, basically, if they like don't get to rescue. And I was like so fucking stressed out the whole time I was reading it. I was like, oh my god, like 47 days until they die, like 36 days until, like, what is happening? But yeah, they're just trying to escape. The bad guys are like one step behind them the entire way. But yeah, this one's definitely more of a slow burn, which I appreciate it, because they didn't even really like each other at the book's start. It's not like they're thrown together and now they're just racing through blizzards in like negative 30 degrees trying to survive. So I was like, this is not, I mean, you can't even pee without the pee like freezing to your legs. So I'm like, this is not the time to start like fucking in a tent.
Yeah,
it's fucking cold.
I'm gonna bump that way the fuck up my TBL. That sounds like catnip to me. That sounds absolutely incredible. Truly.
The second one was kind of cool too. It takes place in Alaska and is a female helicopter pilot and like a recluse, a friendly recluse, and her helicopter like crashes and he's like the guy she's trying to get to rescue because the bad guys are now after him for some reason. My memory is awful. But yeah, that one was really good too. That's like an only one cave situation and nursing to health.
So. Oh my god, stop it. You're speaking my language with these.
I recommend this one all the time. No one's ever come back to me and said they didn't like it. So.
Well, there you go. Perfect. Yeah. Amazing. Two strong recommendations to start us off. Look, I'm going to talk about the Karen Rose romantic suspense series, which... it seems intimidating. I think that we're up to book 27. Kate's face right now. Like, well, here's the thing, though. They are all standalones within the series. It's just sort of that thing of the interconnected saga. So, like, I'm up to the 10th book at the moment. I went absolutely feral at this book festival, secondhand book festival, and I found all of the books. So that was last year. I'm just working my way through. I've started the 10th book yesterday. It's really good. It's got a character who was in book number one, but it kind of rehashes her story a little bit. So you don't need to worry about things like that. Really great characterization. They are sort of older books, sort of written in like the early 2000s. And I think that Karen Rose has really started to like hit her stride with sexy writing from probably book 7 onwards. So that is how I would say, they're sort of in different cities. Like, there are these three books that are set around this one family, and the three books have like a overall story that's like the only sort of trilogy that should be read together. But if you want more info about that, just hit me up and I'll let you know. But yeah, it's really funny. Like, some of the covers are just, I call it like women in distress. Like, the covers are just hilarious. It's just like a woman sort of looking behind her like, oh my god, he's coming. But yeah, really good. Like, a lot of, and none of the characters that I've read are like stupid. A lot of them are female police officers. One is a survivor of some really severe domestic violence. We had a psychiatrist. They've all been really incredible. So I would definitely recommend Karen Rose's romantic suspense series.
Are they like violent? Like, are they solving murders, or are the women always in danger? Or
no, sometimes the men are in danger. That's probably like the best part. So they do get a little bit more graphic. Like, there is strong warnings for sexual assault, domestic violence, on page. Like, it's they're great though. I really do enjoy them. And then like other little characters will kind of pop up. But I mean, we've had some really cool, like a forensic archaeologist. She was involved with some stuff, with some like cult-like kind of killings. They're pretty intense, and they do keep me up at night. I can never fucking put them down when I start reading them. So it's just, yeah.
That's definitely the danger of romantic suspense, is like, not only do you want to get to the end to find out how like they do together at the end and to make sure it's like an HEA, but you also want to know what the fucking crime is, like who the killer is or what the mystery is. And so it's like a double whammy in terms of not being able to put romantic suspense is the worst book to read at night, basically.
Yeah, you just have to, like, that's, like, first thing in the morning, you do your romantic suspense, and then you just, the whole day is just written off, basically. So that would be my thing. Just clear your schedule, pop out a book, and then you're good to go.
Perfect. What a plan. What a life plan from Michaela. Just don't even get out of bed.
Just
start
don't do
the
it.
Day with reading.
Say, yeah. I'm sick. Sorry. Gotta go. Gotta read my book.
Well, my second book, I just complained about Laurie Foster. My second book is a Laurie Foster book. seriously, like, her older stuff, her newer stuff, I just don't really like the heroines as much. And maybe it's just the one series I was reading, but I just wasn't super, I don't know, I feel like her heroines are getting a little bit dumber as she goes, instead of being, like, kind of badass. I mean, sometimes they're damsels in distress, but lately, the last few have just been, like, dumb. And I'm like, I don't want to read about dumb women.
Me too, bitch, the fuck. Like, honestly, that's me.
I'm already feeling dumb enough. I want to read about women smarter than me, for God's sakes.
Yeah. Okay, so there is actually, I think, like, knowledge in being stupid. I know that in a zombie apocalypse, I'm fucking gone. Like, I'm it's not happening.
We have glasses. We're done.
I'm not dealing with it. It's just, it's not happening. Like, me without power, like, my Kindle dies, I die. Like, no, the grid goes down. I'm a woman in tech. I spend 5 hours a day on Instagram on my phone. That means I'm a woman in tech. I can't survive that. Having said that, though, when COVID happened, I was the Katniss Everdeen. Can you believe that? I was the one in the grocery store. I was the hunter-gatherer sort of bitch. And you know what was really disturbing in Australia? Nobody was buying spices. I was like, your chicken that you have hoarded is going to be so fucking bland. Get some paprika, get some cumin, get fucking something untouched, unfucking touched. Keeps me up at night 3 years later.
She's okay. What? How do you know no one was buying spices at all? What if they were just restocking them really quickly?
I was in the supermarket for like 7 hours a day. You know, I was out there. I was on the front lines.
What? Yeah. Oh boy. All right. Okay. We're going to go back to the book I was suggesting is part of, I believe, the Love Undercover series by Laurie Foster, which is a cop series, I believe, or cop adjacent, depending on the hero. So just a trigger warning there if you are avoiding cops at all costs. But this is an older book, so it is a little bit outdated, just dated in general. Because I think it's from, like, early 2000s. But I really like it. Because I normally hate hidden identity books. Or mistaken identity, both of them. It's so angsty for me to know the identity and not be able to, like, scream at the person. Like, hey, you dumb fuck. Like, you're missing all the signs that this is the person you are looking for. But in this, it's kind of, it's interesting because we have Logan, and of course, like, so this book's called Run the Risk, and the hero's name is Logan Risk.
Oh, yeah.
And then they have, like, Dash of Peril, and the hero's name is Dash.
Dash.
So that's, like, the series, like, all the titled, all the guys have, like, weird as fuck names, so they can, like, the book Getting Rowdy, which is one of my favorite books of all time, the hero's name is Rowdy. So
I love that. These are silly-ass names I would name my kids. Like, don't at me.
Yeah. Yeah, and so the heroine in this book is called Pepper.
Pepper!
And it was Pepper. Pepper. But I love this because it's like a hidden identity, except for he knows her identity. Like, he's undercover as a construction worker trying to get close to Pepper, who he thinks has information on the death of his best friend. So, like, a cop was shot and killed. He thinks that her and her brother were involved somehow, like either witnesses or something. He doesn't know, but he knows he needs to get his hands on Pepper. Hands. I'm doing hands movements. He wants to grow up her boobs. But Pepper is also, so he knows it's Pepper, but she's also kind of in disguise. And she doesn't know who he is. So she's like, and of course, this is such like a 2000s fucking situation. She is really a gorgeous, statuesque blonde woman. With like tits for days and shit, but she is making herself plain. She is dressing in like layers. She looks like an Amish woman who has like, she has every inch of her skin covered. She's not like, she doesn't wear makeup. She like intentionally makes herself look as
she
like drab and dreary as possible. Yeah. Very, very. Yeah. She even wears like granny panties, I think, at one point. Like, she is fully committed to the bit.
Oh my god.
Fully committed. Which is, I say that, but like I love granny panties. Like I'm just saying, like I wear like comfortable underwear to bed. I'm not. They serve their purpose. They're amazing. Let's not knock them. We should call them comfort panties instead. Okay.
Comfort.
Michaela's giving me a face. I'm gonna keep going. So Pepper doesn't know it's Logan. Logan knows it's Pepper, but he thinks she's like plain. But he kind of falls for her anyways, in spite of her plain appearance.
Oh, good. Right?
Perfect.
Thank God.
This what is would like, we do? This was like every other book.
Him. Yeah.
Right? If he was like, oh, she's plain. But so at one point, though, he betrays her. And she obviously comes out as a bombshell and just, like, ruins his fucking life. And then he spends half the book trying to earn her trust back. And also trying not to arrest her brother, who is, like, a criminal. And she's like, if you want to fuck me, you can't arrest my brother. And he's like, oh, my God. That goes against every bit of cop in me.
Just quit your job. Quit your job.
Yeah.
He arrests the brother or he doesn't arrest the brother?
Ugh, I'm not going to tell you.
Well,
yeah.
Oh, well, I'm not going to read it. Well, maybe. No.
Let's but yeah, I'm going to read it. I mean, and it's like a multi. So like, yeah, it turns out. So like, I don't know. It's just a really good. They're running from people. So like, not only is she hiding from him in a sense, but they're both. He's trying to save her life. And she's like, she's a little bit too stupid. Not really too stupid to live. But she's stubborn. And she's got that whole like, I'm not going to let anybody get in danger because of something like I did or like because they want me. So she's trying to protect him. She's trying to protect her brother. It's a whole thing, but it's like lots of like fireworks back and forth. They like banter and fight all the time. So if you're into that shit, like if you're into the whole like banter is just foreplay, perfect. Yeah. This book is for you. This Brilliant. Book is for you. But yeah, well, so that's my second recommendation.
For my I love that. My next recommendation is Romantic Suspense Light. That is how I would sort of describe it. This does sort of more air into romance, but it is S.J. Tilley's Sin series. And I always tell people, I'm like, if you're unsure about romantic suspense, read this, because the three characters, there is definitely suspenseful moments. The heroines listen. They are... like, they're all sort of these established women in their 30s as well. It's really good. So our first book, it is like a millionaire, billionaire sort of romance. And she meets him and they just have like a one night stand in Vegas. And then it turns out she's working for him. The next book is his cousin, I want to say, who's the head of security and a woman with a past who is now caring for her nephew, I'm pretty sure. And then the third book is the brother of the first female character, who is a cop as well, so trigger warning for that, but it is some seriously great sex scenes in that book. Fabulous. Always a winner on Kindle Unlimited. Quick books. Amazing.
I didn't check to see if any of mine... I know that Run the Risk is not on Kindle Unlimited because Laurie Foster doesn't do Kindle Unlimited, but I think... let's check and see if... I'm on my phone. Super professional. I want to see if Whiteout is on Kindle Unlimited. So I think that's good that we let you guys know what's on Kindle Unlimited. Whiteout is. And yeah, I think some, I mean, Romantic Suspense Light is kind of nice too, because I feel like sometimes people don't necessarily want to commit to just a full on criminal investigation situation in their book. Sometimes they do just want more of like protecting one of the characters, and it doesn't have to get into like, I don't know, crazy fucking shit all the time. Like, I don't need like 12 different loopholes, but twists and turns. I do love twists and turns.
No, exactly. Like the Karen Rose series. And I'm like, oh yeah, you can kind of pick up like wherever. I'm like, but however, there is, you know, a trilogy and there's 27 books. And it's like, it is. So it's sort of just the introduction to it. I mean, if you want to start getting horny while you're scared, scared while you're horny, that's, you know, welcome to the club. We're here to support you through that, basically. Yeah. Another series.
It's like Scarousal. Scarousal.
Yeah, primal play.
When you're like scared and aroused.
I love that. Another series that Kate and I really love, it's the Hidden Legacy series by Alona Andrews. She literally just started clapping when we were talking about that. I think the book 4 and 5, I want to say they were the last books that I read in 2021, and that was because of Kate. So we'll both tandem this one. The most fucking incredible series. I have this shirt. The main character in the first 3 books is Nevada Baylor. And I have a shirt that says Nevada. And every time I wear it, I'm like, Kate, I'm wearing my Nevada shirt. Like, people think that's for Nevada. No, it's for Nevada Baylor. That's why I bought it. Take it away.
I always get a picture.
Always get a picture.
Well, for those who don't know, she always snaps me a picture of her tits, basically, yeah. and sends it my way. Nevada. No. Although, on my belly button. I say Nevada. You're saying Nevada. I say Nevada.
Nevada.
I think as a name, Nevada sounds better.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with Nevada. But if for those who don't know, this is an iconic series. It is absolutely amazing on all levels. People tend to not read it, though, because they look at the cover and they write it off. I know so many people who are like, I did not read the cover, or I did not read the book because of the cover for so long until somebody told me I had to, and then they're, like, sold. It's that very dramatic, like, half-naked man, woman embracing on a super photoshopped backdrop.
Yeah. Flames.
There's, like, flames. Yeah.
Yeah. Man holding woman, both of them looking a little bit, like, hardcore, but also distressed, like they've been through some shit. Good-looking people doing things. Basically, is the cover.
Honestly, I am not sure why they have not redone these covers. I mean, even the Catalina. So it's an interesting series where it's three books for one set of characters. So it's Nevada and Rogan are books 1, 2, and 3. And then the series continues, technically. So then it's still the Hidden Legacy series, but it's books, there's a novella, and then it's books 4, 5, and 6, which are Nevada's sister Catalina's books.
Yes.
But Catalina's covers are way better than the first three books' covers are. Anyways, don't write it off because of the cover. We're telling you it's good. The couple, it's actually a couple who writes it. So Ilona Andrews is a husband-wife duo. I do think I read that she writes a lot more of the romance parts and helps with a lot more of the action parts. And yeah. Together they make perfection. But basically, there's literally so fucking much to tell you guys about this series. There's so much. Like, basically, you have... how would you describe it? Because there's so fucking much going on.
Yeah, like, I would say it's not like sci-fi. Like, it's kind of a paranormal while... It's sort of like an alternate timeline for us. Like, it is, isn't it? It's like it's not any further ahead. It's just that maybe during the... Is it World War II? Like, I want to say that there was some sort of genetically modified... like a mutation of genes, and that some people have these superpowers essentially from it. Like, but it's kind of more like witchcraft power, if that makes sense. Like, I don't know. It's like, yeah. They're sort of formed into these different groups of powers. So like, you kind of know what you're getting when it comes to that.
Yeah. It's like mature Harry Potter in a way. Like, you know, they're separated into houses. So if you have enough primes who are the most powerful people with magic, if you have, like, two primes in your household, you can become a house. And yes. So the different things are, like, Nevada can tell when someone's lying. She's, like, a human lie detector. And then you have people who can control storms. You have people who can have telepathic powers. And people who can heal poisons, or, like, can create poison. Yep. And also, like, heal people who have been poisoned. It's people who can talk to animals. Mm-hmm. It's literally, like, there's so much going on. But you have Nevada, who is a private investigator, and she has been basically threatened into taking a very dangerous job. Her boss was like, if you don't take it, I'm going to, like, pull the mortgage on your house, and your family will lose your house. Yeah. I don't know. He's kind of an asshole for
Connor
that.
Connor Rogan is, they just call him Rogan, which is kind of a bit of a boner killer for the Joe Rogan crowd. Don't at me. How many times do I say don't at me? Seriously, at me. See what happens. nothing happens. So Rogan is really, he's like a really powerful prime. Like, this man, like, he is just, he's amazing. And immediately he just likes Nevada, doesn't he? Just really likes her. Yeah. And it's his cousin that they're trying to track down. So something had happened in the prologue of the very first book, and that Rogan's cousin has been caught up with this sort of international conspiracy to do with the primes and the other houses. So combat houses are a thing. So if you have enough primes in the house, it's basically like a fucking free-for-all. It's set in Texas as well, isn't it? So it's just sort of this, like, law of the land. Like, yeah, and you just, like, you have these, like, fucking people just brawling in the streets, you know, like, and there's sort of a committee to kind of keep things, like, a clean-up crew and shit. But, yeah, the combat houses, they're just always trying to kill each other. It actually reminds me a lot, you know that episode of Charmed, when Balthazar, you won't know this, but Balthazar Getty is in it. It's just these, like, people living across the street from each other throwing energy balls at each other. It reminds me of that, but obviously, like, a 6-book series and much cooler. And the
it
side
is, it's really cool. It's, I was gonna say, it's just really thought out. Like, it is not a book that you can just half pay attention to. It is incredibly detailed. It is a super, super slow burn. Like, they, I think, kiss at the end of book one. Like, it is so fucking slow. But it doesn't even matter because it's so fucking good. The tension, the sexual tension between these two is off the goddamn charts.
And the characters, like, Nevada's family are just absolutely the best. So Nevada's she's essentially the head of her house because her father passed away, and she's got a younger sister named Catalina. She's also got a younger sister named Arabella, and we're hoping that Arabella gets her own trilogy. She's a little bit like young, so that's the other really good thing with these books, is that it's sort of a realistic time jump. I think that's from the end of book 3 to book 4. It's like, what, 2.5-3 years, isn't it?
Something like that. And then they have that novella in the middle to like bridge the gap.
Yes. So you can understand. But I also felt like really convinced by a lot of the characters' motivations for doing things. There are things that happen in book 1 that you sort of still get little glimpses of all the way through to like book 6, where like it's kind of tied up and finally resolved. I just find it like a really satisfying series. I want to reread that so bad. Let's deep dive that shit.
Honestly, write it down. We're going to deep dive Hidden Legacy. It would be like 12 episodes long of a deep dive. What is the best part, though, is how Nevada and Rogan meet, which is that he kidnaps her and chains her in his basement.
Yeah.
And well, then I mean, tortures her.
I wanted people to read that for themselves. Actually, the best part is Nevada's grandmother. She's like a grease monkey, like fucking 3,000-year-old grizzly bitch. Frida? Grandma Frida?
Yeah. The best. I take it back. Grandma Frida is the best part. This book really has the perfect blend of humor, especially from like Nevada's family and from like Rogan, who's a sociopath, and just like everybody's absolutely batshit terrified of him except Nevada. Before.
Yeah.
And her family. Yeah. Her family's just like, dude, we're not fucking scared of you.
Yeah. And they just, like, exploit his money as well. It's just like, well, you know, if you're going to be obsessed with her, you've got to pay for security around the clock for this house. It's like, it's just like, okay, I'll do that, no trouble.
Yeah. I like that. It's like Nevada's a little bit too, like, very, very stubborn, and her family is the perfect, like, opposite to break the tension in the book.
Yeah.
Like, they make her do things that she wouldn't want to do just because, like, she's trying to protect her family. So you get a little bit of a stubborn heroine. But anyways... Yeah, we don't want to spoil the entire book, but if you want just, like, enemies to lovers, like, in a sense, enemies forced to work together to save the world, this is perfect for you.
Mwah.
So,
the best. Mwah.
Yes. It's amazing. Oh, my God. Now I have to reread it. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. That keeps happening to me. Like, I'm reading, like, 4 books at once right now. I'm reading Lore by Lily Maine. I'm reading an arc of it, and then I'm also reading Sleep No More by Jane Ann Krentz. I'm kind of bouncing between the two because Lore is very, very long, and I'm also trying to savor it, and Sleep No More is a little bit shorter and more, like, action-packed. But then I recommended Maybon Feast by C.M. Nascosta to somebody, which is a spider romance. It's like a heroine's a witch, and he's a spider, and immediately I was like, well, fuck. Like, now I have to reread that. So now I'm rereading that as well, and my brain is just, like, bouncing between a monster romance, 2 monster romances, one in the past, it's in, like, the 80s, I don't know shit about the 80s.
No.
And then a present-day contemporary romantic suspense.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, a lot going on. A lot going on in the house today, of romantically inclined. Is it reclined? She's romantic and she's fucking relaxed. She's, like, romantically reclined. That could be like an after dark segment you do when you're on the couch, you know, doing stories. It's romantically reclined.
That's my OnlyFans. That's my OnlyFans right there. Romantically reclined. It's just me in like a beat up recliner. I'm fully dressed and I'm just reading a book. Like, and not even out loud.
You're looking down, you're looking with that double chin on your phone. Like that sort of. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Another honorable mention. This is actually one of the first recommendation I ever got off Kate, and that is Katie Ruggles series. We have to talk about that. Truly the best.
I really hope that Katie Ruggle sees the sales of her books. I don't know how that works because it's like a physical book. There's no, it's not KU. But I always recommend the third book to people. And I know so many people who read the third book and not the rest of the series. I would love to see the stats on the sales of these books. Because normally you think like, okay, the first book is obviously going to have the most sales because if people like it, they keep going. But if people don't like it, they don't read the rest. Yep. But that third book, Gone Too Deep, has a male version in it. I recommend it fucking constantly. He's so grumpy. He is a male, never even had a fucking kiss before, guys. He doesn't even own a cell phone. Lives in a thing, doesn't even want to deal with her, agrees to deal with her so that some other creepy dude doesn't deal with her. And she's a city girl. He's a, like, gruff mountain man. He's leading her through a trek through the woods to find her dad, who has, like, a mental health issue and is, like, hiding out because he's paranoid. And,
the best part about, George. Okay, so, this is such, like, a random sidebar, but I've got to talk about it. So, I don't really film TikToks, but I love, like, follow the most random people on TikTok, and I found this girl who works in a bar in San Diego, and it was like she was doing all of the bouncers, and it's like, what bouncer would you never let your daughter date? And everyone was like, Riley. And I could tell you who Riley was before, like, he even fucking came on screen. But Riley looks exactly like the male, like, model that they've got on the front of the Katie Ruggle book. So I stitched it, and it has like 10,000 views. And Riley lost it. Like, he was like, oh my God. So, like, the Riley reveal, apparently he's a virgin living in a mountain. But I don't think that Riley's a virgin. No. Just saying.
Not based on what I saw.
No, and I mean, I guessed his star sign correctly, as I often do. I've guessed like three people's star sign at that bar correctly. They're like, what the fuck is this witch bitch doing? I was like, stop being so obvious then. He's a Leo.
Oh my God. That actually, I can see that. But yeah, so the whole series is called the Search and Rescue series. It is four books. And it's about a like search and rescue crew in like a small town of Colorado. I don't really understand how they get as much business, like as many people almost dying in this like small Coloradoan town, like they do.
Just go with it. Honestly, yeah, okay. Like, well, I just read this cozy mystery series and like a quaint little fucking village in England. And like, you know how sometimes, well, you probably don't, in cozy mysteries, like sometimes there'll just be a robbery. But there was like a fucking murder every week. I'm like, surely, like, we'd be getting some higher ups, not the fucking bumpkin police force. You know, like, wow, why do these people get fucking dying, you know?
Now, like, the third murder, it's like, we should probably call in the FBI, guys.
Nine deaths a week for 9 weeks. Are you kidding? Like, hello? Oh my God. That's the best part about reading actual crime and suspense.
Are they all connected deaths? Like, it's a serial killer? Or it's just a series of cozy mysteries that all take place in the same town and there's a new death to solve every week?
Yeah. Option B.
Interesting. I cannot suspend my disbelief like that much.
No. I also can't suspend my disbelief that, like, you met a guy and you took 9 weeks to fuck him. Are you serious? Try before you buy. That's my advice. This podcast called Up the Smut for a reason. More smut. Up it. Fuck everyone. Fuck them.
But you're reading cozy mysteries, which are, like, decidedly the lowest tier smut situation. Step above a clean romance.
I was listening to the audiobooks and dissociating while I played Toy Blast, okay? I've been playing that game for 7 years. I have finished every single level. Often I am the best player in the world, okay? So if you guys play that, you'll never know who I am. Unless I win every week. Kate's like, every day I learn something new about you and I, against my will.
Seriously.
Like, just literally. Yeah.
I don't know how that happens. I don't know how there's anything left to discover about you, but you prove me wrong every week.
There's plenty.
But so if you're into small towns, if you're into the first book is like Grumpy Sunshine, one's chaos, one's super organized. He's her boss. She's diving in a lake to be trained because she just joined the like search and rescue diving team, and she finds a dead body, a headless dead body.
Headless Dead Body. Fuck, that's such Headless. A good series. Kate, we've got so much to reread.
The second book is a grumpy conspiracy theorist, kind of. Well, her parents were, and she's reaping the trauma related to that. And a sunshiny fireman who's super into her, and she runs a gun store.
Yes,
and she's the like, yeah. So it's like a kind of a flip of like the regular tropes, where she's the like grumpy recluse, and he's the one trying to get her to break out of her shell. She can only sleep in like tiny windowless areas for safety purposes. So he like outfits his like closet for her to sleep in when she comes to his house. The third book obviously is Gone Too Deep. We already gushed about George, the male virgin. Fourth book is a what do you call it? Agoraphobic. Yeah. She never leaves her house. Yep. A heroine who's agoraphobic and
he's a police officer.
Yeah. And he's a also a police officer there.
In this one as well, it's the four books have that overarching storyline as well. Things that happen in the first book are sort of solved, you know, like we get little crumbs and it's good. It's really well written.
So you can technically, like each book technically has its own mini mystery that wraps up at the end. But the like the headless guy from the first book is related to the crime in the second book, which is related. So there's like, there is one overarching bad guy who you don't get until the final book. But everyone who's read like the third book as a standalone is like, you know, I read it. I did not realize it was part of a series when I read it. And I did not. I was a little bit confused at the end, but I was like, mostly I was like, only because I was like, I don't understand. Like, wait, what's this guy doing? It like ended with like a cliffhanger. And I was like, I'm a little bit confused. But if you don't, you don't have to care about that cliffhanger. Anyways, I've gone on too far. You need to read Gone Too Deep. It is the best. All these are all slower burns. These are all like more realistic development of relationship. No one's fucking on the first page. They're not as explicit as like a Tessa Bailey book situation. There is on page sex though. It's just like not insane.
That's it. No, I definitely think that like romantic suspense as well as for listeners who are not really used to the romance genre. Like, obviously, you know, like we do talk about clean romances, closed door romances, things like that. But this is also, it's great for like the true crime crowd, you know, like we said, you know, if you watch like SVU, if you watch Criminal Minds and you like a little bit of spice. So I think that these are all really good recommendations that we've got. And the other thing that we want to say is that all of the books that we talk about, we make sure that we've read them. Like that's a really big thing for both of us. Like we want to be able to say, hey, we've read this, or one of us has read this, we back it, instead of just like, this is a book that's about that, and it's just not a book about that at all. So
yeah, and no one ever pays us, or, I mean, sometimes they ask us to read it, but we're not going to talk about it if we don't love it, but we never accept financial compensation for recommending a book to you guys. These are all from the bottom of our hearts.
From the bottom of our dirty little hearts, our slutty little hearts.
Slutty. Yes. Michaela brought up a good point. I tend to recommend romantic suspense books to people who are newer to the romance genre. Not that that's where they need to stay, obviously, because I love them. But I find it's a lot easier for people to like dip their toes into romance when they have a, like, it's not just full on fucking the entire book. It's like, you know, it's an easier transition from like someone who reads fiction to just like, okay, well, I like when men, when they're like, oh, I read whatever. What's like a book that a lot of men tend to read? Clive Cussler.
David Baldacci.
Yeah.
Is that that guy? I was at the book fest and I like, I just saw nothing. Is his name David Baldacci?
I think so.
Yeah. And so there was tons of him there.
Yeah. If a guy comes and they're like, that's what, I don't believe that there are guy books for men and books for women. I believe romance is ungendered. Anybody can love any book, but when a guy tends to come and ask for a book that they would recommend, or I would recommend to a dude, first I say, there are no romance novels for dudes.
Yep.
You are just a person. I'm not going to recommend a book based on your gender to you. I'm going to ask you 15 questions, get to the bottom of what makes you tick, and then pick a book that fits that. And they tend to be like, okay, well, I read a lot of like suspense. And I'm like, perfect. Then I'm going to just transition you right to romantic suspense. Mm-hmm. That's where we're going. Like, if you told me that you liked historicals, I wouldn't just recommend a suspense because you're a dude. No, I would probably recommend like a historical romance or whatever. Not Outlander. That is not a beginner book.
No. Is it a romance book, do you think?
No. I don't think there's... Well, to be fair, I don't know if the show upped the sex more than in the books. But, I mean, she herself has said it's not a romance. I think it's too much to be considered a romance. Like, I don't know. I just don't think... I think it's too heavy on the plot and history side to... Because the romance has to be, like, the main focus all the time, in a sense. Or at least, like... I mean, romantic suspense, it's 50-50 in terms of, like, on page, but you... The relationship is what's carrying those, like, them through the suspense. So, like, while it might get 50-50 screen time, it's, like, but I feel like Outlander is, like, 90% description of plant life and setting.
It's like a romantic
and 10%
book.
Fucking.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's basically, like, I don't know. I haven't read it. My husband bought it for me. I haven't read it yet. He saw me watching it. He bought me the books, which is really sweet of him and very, like, perceptive of him. But I have never in my life wanted to read the books. So, but now, like, I have them, and I feel like I should.
Yeah, listen to the audiobook, because you want to read an audiobook this year. So you should
listen
to
that. Yeah, but is that, like, a 40-hour, like, audiobook?
Yeah, I listened to
it. I wanted to listen to, like, a Jessa Kane audiobook and just tick it off my list for the year.
I'll have to record that for you. No, there's no Jessa Kane audiobooks. It'll be me, his hot, throbbing member. Do I do an American accent for it? He humped into the bed, the blood stain that was mine.
I don't like that. Stop doing that. Oh.
You don't like the American accent? I could do
that.
No, like a southern...
it's like Uncanny Valley. Get out of my business. Ew. No, bring back Michaela.
Can't. Oh, no.
Did not like that. Actually, that was really impressive, though. I can only do an Australian accent if I were to just only listen to you talk for, like, 3 straight hours. I would just naturally adapt an Australian accent.
Yeah. I'd love to see you in Australia, because there's so many different accents here. Like, that's the thing. And some of us, you know, like, we put it on. It's like, all right, mate, what's going on? That's, like, a pretty standard sort of greeting. What's going on, brah? That's another one.
I would be like, well, wait, so when I went to Mozambique, some guy taught me, they taught me this hand signal. Let's hang in or something. I don't know. Where you, like, use your pinky and your thumb and the rest of the fingers are down and you, like, wiggle it.
That's a bit like
surfer
Hawaii.
Taught me that.
Like, yeah, that's surfing. That's like a surfer thing.
Yeah.
Hang loose.
Yeah. That's all I know.
Yeah.
That's
just
the cool
the
lingo.
Up. People love the thumbs up in Australia. Yeah, good mate. Awesome. Cheers. That's the other one. Cheers. That's a bit British. That's the really funny thing about Australia, though, is we do have a lot of things from Britain and also from America, because we're just such, like, a cultural mismatch. I think that the statistic in Australia is that 49% of Australians have a parent from another country, which is super fucking cool. I love that.
That is
nobody's
cool.
From here. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, well, the Indigenous Australians, obviously. But yeah, like, even my dad's not from here.
I am from here. I am from where I am from.
I love that.
So are my parents. And so are my grandparents. We're too American. We need some diversity in our lives.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll figure it out. Well, thank you for joining us. This is a long epi, but I feel like romantic suspense demands attention. And it demands
a long
episode.
Yeah, like, it's always, you know you're sitting down with us for at least 45 minutes. Like, you're clearing your schedule. You're like, these two crazy girls, again, that's them. Your book besties.
Yeah, you changed your Instagram name to, like, Michaela Book Bestie.
Yeah, did you like that? It's better than All Things Books, yeah?
Yeah, no,
which one do you like?
I thought it was going to be Nepo Baby, though.
Nepo Baby. I am a Nepo Baby. Everything I am is because of my mother, Katie Cakes. People can't have normal nicknames. One of my friends, she's probably listening, her daughter's name's Birdie. She's like an actual baby. She's 8 months old. And I'm like, no, I don't like that. I was like, bad bitch Birdie. Birdie Beetle Butt. And I even call Kate's kid, I call him Rib, like the romantically inclined baby. I'm like, is Rib asleep yet? has ribbles. Ribbles in his dribbles.
Honestly, so I like that. I'm a nickname person. My kid has like 18,000 nicknames. My cat, I don't even think she knows what her real name is.
Yeah.
Because I just call her like annoying most of the time.
Yeah. That's the best name. Way to live. That's how we do things.
Or her name is Shut Up, Sophie.
Shut up.
We are not good at saying goodbye because we want to be here with you guys forever. So anyways, tune in next week. We're still nailing down our schedule for the year. So for now, it's going to be a surprise. But in the future, we hope to prepare you for the future episode.
We hope to get over the anxiety of actually having to create a schedule. That's probably... Let's just be honest with these people.
I have all the dates written out, and then it's just blank next to them. So if you have a suggestion for an episode or a topic you'd like us to cover, we do have a suggestion form in our bio. So on Instagram, which is at Up the Smut Pod. So you can suggest something. Somebody suggested a Shrek romance. So that is on my TBR.
That's on my Kindle. That's happening.
Oh, it's already out of my swamp. Kindle.
Get into my swamp. Is that what it's going to be? I don't really know if I want my vagina to be called a swamp. A playground.
I don't want to fuck in a swamp either.
It would smell. You know what, though? You think about all the guys that you fucked when you're like, you know, a young adult. And I'm like, well, maybe it was sort of a swamp. Like, maybe his dirty bowls of, like, 2-minute noodles, that was a swamp. Anyway, we'll see you next week. Love you. Bye.
And as always, stay slutty, stay smutty, and read whatever the fuck you want.